God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
I'm thankful to be in a church that believes children are not simply young adults to be isolated and kept away, locked with a key, but we believe that God can speak to them, and we believe that God can speak through them. So for you who are here regularly, welcome back. For you who are new and have come to hear the children, listen, let me tell you this. The greatest gift that you can give them today is to listen to the Word of God. Because they've been singing about it for 30 minutes. And if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, to this God that they have sung about, this is good news. This is good, good news. He is binding up the broken. He is giving us our freedom. We invite you to come to Christ today. That you can tell people, I gave my life to Jesus Christ at a children's musical because they sang about the gospel and my heart heard it for the very first time. Often around Christmas, we linger at the cradle in Bethlehem. But the gospels do not let us stay there very long. And so if you have your Bibles with you today, join me in the book of Luke, the gospel of Luke in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We're going to look at Luke chapter 4. And we're going to answer the question that the community of the synagogue asked in Nazareth. Luke chapter 4, verse 22, they ask about Jesus, isn't this Joseph's son? So today we're going to consider, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus Christ? Luke 4, beginning in verse 16. Let's read together. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. He, that's Jesus, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as usual, he entered into the synagogue, which means gathered together, on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he read the scroll from the prophet Isaiah that was given to him. And unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it was written. This is Isaiah 61. Words that you have already heard read today and words that you have already heard sung today. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and then he sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed upon him. He began by saying to them, today, as you listen, the scripture has been fulfilled. So let's take a moment, let's pray, let's set our hearts right and our affections upon Christ, and then we will look at the word together. Father, we thank you, Lord, I thank you for young boys and girls who love your word, who have already sung and proclaimed that this is good news. This is good, really good news. That Jesus is binding up the broken. He is setting free the captives. Lord, today may our hearts hear this good news like never before. Father, many for the first time. And Lord, for those who know this good news, may we hear it as if it were the first time. Let our hearts rejoice. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Who is Jesus? If you were to answer the question, who is Jesus? I would argue there's no better place to start than the words of Jesus Christ himself. And so what we have read in Luke 4 is actually the very first public sermon of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Luke, in a synagogue in Nazareth. Now, historians would tell you that this is actually the oldest preserved text of any synagogue retelling in ancient history. Like, this is the first synagogue bulletin. And if you were going to synagogue, this is what it would take. First, you would need 10 men to gather together, and we have 10 men here today. First, you would read the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Then someone would stand up and they would recite a prayer. Someone would stand up and they would pray a prayer spontaneously from their heart. Then someone would stand up and read part of the book of Moses, the lectionary of the day. Someone would exposit on that reading. Then someone would stand up, open a scroll in the prophets, and they would read that portion. And then the person who reads would sit down and then begin to explain that section of scripture. This is exactly what's happened in Nazareth. Exactly what happened in the synagogue. This is exactly what Jesus Christ does. And Luke says, in my opinion, tongue in cheek, he says that Jesus, in verse 17, he found the place where it was written. Now let me tell you what's not happening. Jesus didn't just take a random scroll and say, Lord, if your favor is upon me, teach me what I should share. Ah! The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the captives, to declare release to those in the year of Jubilee. No, God in his sovereignty points Jesus exactly to this very scripture in Isaiah 61. There's a reason that our boys and our girls have sung of this scripture. There's a reason where we read this scripture at Advent, because this is an anointed word of the Lord himself. And let's look exactly at exactly what Jesus Christ says. He says in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now we're not going to rush past this. The Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit of the who? Of the Lord, that's God the Father. We've seen God the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Who's the me? Jesus Christ. So we have this echo, this vestige of the Father. We have the Spirit and the Father and the Son together in one synagogue. This is not an accident. This is a beautiful prophecy fulfilled in Jesus Christ himself. And before we look at the blessings of the gospel, before we look at the gifts of the gospel, don't miss the who of the gospel. Jesus Christ, the giver. You cannot read the promises of Isaiah without the anointed one, Jesus Christ. So if you were to ask Jesus, who are you? He would start and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. I am the Messiah. I am the Messiah, the one you long for. So before we talk about heaven, before we talk about forgiveness of sins, before we talk about freedom of captivity, before we talk about the Lord's favor, we need to focus on the giver before we look at the gift. Who is Jesus? He is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the only begotten, given that you might have life and have life abundantly. And then Jesus says, but there's some more. Listen in. As our students would say, as Cameron might say, lock in, pastor. Lock in, synagogue. Jesus says this. I have come to preach good news to the poor. What news? Good news. Not so-so news. Not the 5 o'clock news. good news. Great news, in fact. And what is this good news? In Scripture, Jesus says, I have come to preach good news to the who? To the poor. To the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release. Why the poor? Because these were the very people who need the greatest news of all. Poor in the time of Christ were the socially and economically limited people. The poor were people who get to the end of the month and their ends don't meet. Have you ever been there? They're working to feed the fire, and no matter how hard they work, they never have enough. And if you've ever been there, just think about what Jesus is saying. If you've ever been there, if you're ever in need, it's easy to cry out, God, I need you. I have nothing. If you are there today, just know that Jesus Christ sees you. He hears you. And he knows you. And not just simply that, Jesus says, I have come to proclaim good news to people like you. And throughout the Gospels, we have disadvantaged people, poor, needy, who come to Christ first. At the heart of Yahweh beats a deep compassion for the downtrodden. And this is the surprising pattern of the Gospels. It's the poor. Jesus actually says, blessed are the poor in spirit. It's the outcasts. It's the tax collectors. It's the sinners. It's the prostitutes. It's those people eating with Jesus Christ. And the world will say, they are not allowed. And Jesus says, no, you don't understand. These are the people I've come to proclaim the good news to. These are the people who need me. And the hymn writer Joseph Hart would say it this way beautifully. Come, you sinners, poor and needy, sick and wounded, weak and wounded, sick and sore. And he says, I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in his arms. There should be a recognition in the heart of every person that without Jesus Christ, we are the poor in spirit. We are the weak. We are the wounded. So today, if you feel like, well, Pastor, I don't need him. I have everything I need in myself. Fine, you don't need Jesus. He didn't come for you. But the moment you humble yourself and say, God, I'm poor in spirit. I have nothing to offer you but my sin. That's when we hear the good news for the very first time. So for all those who are poor of spirit, there's good news. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Christ. But he continues, there's more gifts of the gospel to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, sight to the blind, release for the captives. In Luke's gospel, this is not just merely political slavery. It's more here. It's the deliverance from the deepest chains that we have, the chains of sin. And until you understand your sin, we will never understand the deep, deep release that we find in Jesus Christ. This is the hope that we have. When's the last time you thought about your sin? I know what you might say. Well, that's a vacation Bible school story, Pastor. Okay, for our children, listen up. You're sinners. If your parent tells you you're perfect, they lied to you because your parent is a sinner. And Pastor Jared tells us every time he shares his testimony, he gave his life about 6 years old at vacation Bible school because he said for 3 days in a row, he only heard the verse, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So if you are a six-year-old today and you can understand that you are a sinner, you can be saved. Now let me speak to our 60-year-olds who would say, has God, is it too late? Has God passed me by? if you can understand your sin today, you can find release, hope, that Jesus paid the full price for the liberation of your soul. There's hope in the gospel. And I can imagine as people are listening to this, Jesus continues to explain the depth of the hope that we have in Christ the Messiah. He says, there's good news for the poor. He said, there's release for those that are slaves in sin. And then he says this in verse 18 and 19, recovery of sight to the blind. He is the one who gives you sight again. And at first glance, you would say, well, Pastor, my vision is perfectly fine. In fact, I have 20/20 vision. I don't need the miracle of sight for my physical ailments. But there's more here than meets the eye. Some of you know the verse John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. What we might not understand about that verse was given to a man named Nicodemus who came to Jesus at night. And I think there's something subversive in the Gospels, because it's more than at night. Nicodemus is coming to Jesus in spiritual darkness. He's coming to Jesus because he's blind spiritually. And he's asking the question, good teacher, how can I be saved? Because he knows there's something about Christ that gives sight to the blind. John Newton captured this in his hymn. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He understood his sin. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Where did Newton get that spiritual insight? Luke chapter 4. There was a day in John Newton's life where he realized, God, without you, I am in spiritual darkness. I am blind. And if you've ever been there, praise God for spiritual sight. And for you who would say, well, I don't need church. I don't need God. I'm just here because I want to see a cute child perform. That's what blind people say. People who can't see the hope of Christ say, I don't need the hope of Christ. And you are here today by invitation of your grandchild or your child or your neighbor, because God desires to open your eyes for the very first time. Would you let Christ take the shackles off your spiritual darkness? Because only Jesus Christ gives recovery of sight to the blind. He continues to set free the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Freedom from captivity is an echo back to the year of Jubilee. It harkens back to things of old in the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 25, which is tied in with the Day of Atonement, every 50 years, God's people would cancel every debt. Which means if you mortgaged your land, you got it back. Which means if you sold yourself to an employer because you had debts, you were set free. That was the year of Jubilee, when you had debts you could not pay, they were paid in full. And some of you are saying, can we not do that today? Every mortgage set free, every note burned. Can you imagine that day? What a year of rejoicing it would be. And Jesus says spiritually, this is what he does for us. Every chain that is enslaving you because of your sin, because of your difficulty, Jesus Christ pays it in full. That's good news. As our children have sung, that is good, good news. And this is what we have in Christ. And then Jesus, as he is reminding the world of who he is and what he has done, he says this and does this. Look at verse 20. He rolls up the scroll. He gives it back to the attendant and he sat down. Now, sitting is the posture of the rabbi. He's not tired. He says, I'm speaking with authority. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed upon him. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed upon him. Luke does not want you to reflect on the fact that Jesus sat. He wants you to reflect on the fact that people gazed. Three more times, especially in the book of Acts, this word occurs. When Jesus ascends into heaven, it says that the people gazed towards the sky. And the angels say, hey, guys, what are y'all doing? He told you he was going to ascend and he will return in the very same way. Their eyes were fixed, transfixed upon Jesus Christ. Later on, when Stephen is dying, they are throwing stones at him because he is confessing Christ as Lord, and they're saying, we do not believe in Jesus Messiah. The Bible says that Stephen, as he is dying, gazes into heaven and sees the Son of Man in his glory seated at the right hand of God. When Paul, before the Sanhedrin, is sharing his testimony how God radically changed his life on the road to Damascus, the Bible says the eyes of the people were fixed upon him. So I leave you with this today. When's the last time your eyes were fixed upon Jesus Christ? When's the last time you... There's an old hymn that we used to sing growing up, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ today, here's my challenge. Would you simply say again today, God, I want to see Christ like I've never seen him before again. I want the things of my world to grow strangely dim. Help me fix my eyes on the one who makes blind people see. Help me fix the one who paid my debt that I couldn't pay. Who gave me good news when I was poor in spirit. Who set me free from the bondage and the slave that I was to my sin. God, let me see Jesus like that again. And if you've never given your life to Christ, would you today fix your eyes upon Jesus? To say, God, I came here blind, but I want to see for the very first time. I want to see you like never before. God, I'm sorry I'm a sinner. I trust that Jesus is the anointed one, born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, died in Jerusalem, and now sits at the right hand of God the Father. So for all of our children who sang today, look here real quick. Would you give your life to Jesus Christ today? If you never have, would you pray a prayer like this? Father, I know I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I believe in Jesus, that he died, that he rose again, and I will follow him no matter the cost. To our adults who heard the children sing, if you've never given your life to Christ, would you find today for the very first time that everything that Jesus promises you will be true when you give your life to him? To say, God, I'm poor in spirit. I'm a slave to sin. I have debts I cannot pay. And I need Jesus. If you'd like a pastor to pray with you, a minister to you, we will be down front in a moment of worship and after the service. Our next baptism service is next week. If you need to show the world that you have given your life to Christ, why not now? Because Jesus is worth it. Church, fix your eyes upon Jesus like never before, because he alone is worthy to be praised. Father, we thank you.